We've been interested in the deep mysteries of God, and some of these things I've elaborated on and some of them I haven't. One reason is because it takes a special kind of an anointing to be able to get into these things. My mind won't get into it. My natural brain just won't function like that. These things the Bible teaches are so far above our minds, in that it is the mind of Christ, the heavenly mind, that it's like the heavens above the earth. And you can't get into them. You just can't fast into them. You can't pray into them. You just can't get into them except that He reveal it to you. He must reveal it to you. And when you come to church, if you're hungering and if you're thirsting, so as to your hunger and to your thirst, then He begins to open up this thing in my heart. The light's turned on, and it's just like watching a movie on a screen. No problem whatsoever. But until that is turned on in my heart, then I'm just blank. I can preach to you. Preachers can always preach. They're God's anointed. And I can preach to you. The Bible said there's one Spirit. And I have that Spirit. The Bible said there's many operations of that one Spirit. And Paul said, as a teacher I am, so as a preacher I am. And it just takes a special kind of thing for that to happen. I have mentioned quite a number of things, trying to stay in the book of Revelation as much as I could, going to and fro, till we get it all together for you, to the best that the Lord will allow us. And the other night, I said quite a number of things. And I feel sure that when I said them, that many of you never did understand what I was saying. I know that you didn't. The reason I know, I can tell your reaction. I can tell whether or not you got it, or I can pick up the Spirit and tell whether or not you got it. Now, you get it, everything that I preach up here, you get it. Them that listen, they get it. You hear it. You know, you intellectually hear it. And you know the words I said, and you heard my vocal utterance so far as my vocal cords. But see, that's not getting it. That's not getting it. That's not getting it. I could say something here that you wouldn't understand if I said that. You wouldn't receive that right, so I better not say it. But anyway, you didn't get it. See, but if you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches, and if you have eyes to see, Jesus said, seeing always what the Father does. God is a Spirit. And when you have eyes to see, that means you must have eyes of understanding. Ears that can comprehend and understand. See, and when this thing comes forth, you will hear it with your natural ears. But this is where you differentiate between the twins. That's why we had a boy preaching this morning that was a twin. He has a twin. Another boy was here. Today I dealt with my twins, Joe and Danny. It has to do with the twins coming like that. Those two boys are almost just alike, almost identical. One is evangelistic, one is pastoral. And they're almost just alike. But see, those two human bodies of them two twins that favor have to do with a double portion of life. And it's like in me as a spirit, in you as a spirit, and then it's like the outer man, the outer man. Paul spoke of the outer man and the inner man. And see, your inner man is in the image of God. It's in the likeness of God. And it relates to heaven. But your outer man is born of the natural Adam. And it relates to the world. And it's then the image of the fallen one. Even the image of sin, which is the image of the beast. And so by deception, the beast is in the world. Of course, we could just say, my, there'd be so many things we could preach all night talking about that. But anyway, try to get a thought out here and correlate a few things to find a channel as to what we might run out on one limb and pick some fruit, as we say. It's a big tree. It's a tree of life. So then, that means that you, out of necessity, must make one conform to the other. If you are an interperson that is born again, relating to heaven, then you must make your outer man conform to your inner man. Right now, there is a cross. Everyone takes up their cross to follow God. And the cross is that your spirit is crossing your body. And on that cross, one of them must die. If you are as an interperson, then you're born again. Then your outer man must die because he's hanging there at Calvary. He's on Calvary. See, he must die. He must die. But if it's the other way around, if you've never been born again and you're the outer man and you've got the outer mind, you've got the love of the world, you've got the love of money, you've got the love of passions and frolics and all the things that's in the world, you're worldly minded. And to be carnally minded is death, because there's a sentence of death upon the world. So we're chosen out of the world if we be spirits, if we be Christians, as angelic beings. Born to the Spirit. So, if you are on the world, then your inner man is on the cross. And he will die. He must die. When he is dead, then you cannot get in touch with God, because that's what the Bible calls being plucked up by the root. God said unto the prophets that I've set you over the nations to pluck up and to plant. A minister, a true minister of God, a God-called man, is set over the entire world. See, he's over the nations to pluck up and to plant. That is, he's the one that cuts down. He's the one that plants. He's the one that remits sin. He's the one that retains sin. He's the one that brings one in. He's the one to put one out. See, he's set over the nations to pluck up. He's God's revenger, set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. A lot of times a man's just a local preacher. He's just a local minister. And he has a local body, because maybe he hasn't grown in God to realize the calling of the ministry as to the strength of what the prophetical utterance of God is. But the man that knows, he knows that the Bible said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The whole world is charged to him. And Paul said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to all mankind, to every creature, as much as lieth within me. So then, a great thing is happening. If you have ears to hear, then that's great. That's wonderful. If you don't, then there's nothing I can do about that. All right. Chapter 6, the book of Revelation, if you'd like to read with me. We'll read in the 9th verse. And when he'd opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I went back to the teachings of Jesus there on the mountain where Jesus was teaching, and pointed out how that he said that this was going to come at a certain time. And then I went over to this scripture, we've got it on tape, where I pointed out that this time finally came to pass. Now, and I tried to explain to you how that this naturally will happen. The natural stars will literally fall out of their socket. They're going to fall from heaven. The moon is going to turn into blood. The heavens are literally going to be on fire. And the earth is going to be a blazing fire like an inferno. It's going to be a great, outstanding moment of judgment. That's going to happen. See, but there is a spiritual application to this. And there is, as this is to the natural Jew and to the natural people, there is a spiritual application that is to the spiritual Jew and to the spiritual people. How many of you believe that there is a spiritual Jew? Let me see your hand. Okay, Paul said, he that is a Jew outwardly is not a Jew, but he that is a Jew inwardly, he is a true Jew. So then there is no such thing as a Jew. I know I say to our brother back here, I say Richard the Jew. But I just say that, you know, kind of differentiating between the Richards and so that you can differentiate between the Richards. But Richard is not a Jew. There is no such thing as a Jew. How you can be an Israelite, you can be a descendant of Abraham, you can go back, you know, to that thing, but there is no such thing as a Jew except a spiritual Jew. So our brother Richard really is a Jew to the extent he is a spiritual Jew. But as a natural Jew, he's not a natural Jew. God has no, he has no respect of person. He doesn't have any special people as to what you would say as a Jew or whatever. He just, God is a spirit. God has to work in certain ways. See, like the egg, you can't get the egg without the shell. It takes the hen and it takes the shell. So it takes the hen and the work of the hen to put together the shell that you might have the egg. So in God's work, it took what was called a Jew. It took an Israelite. He was the shell. When you go to embalm somebody, they call that a shell. The embalmer, he calls your body a shell. And when you talk to him, he'll say, yeah, that's the shell. See, so it took a shell, and that shell was the Jewish people. God used that shell and the labor of the Jew like he does the hen to make the egg. See, and they had to do certain ritualistics. They had to do certain things. All kind of things they had to do because the Bible said unto them was committed the ordinances of God. So Paul said in much every way, chiefly speaking, that they are outstanding in the sight of God. So then, I'm saying that to say this. It was like Jacob. Jacob never did desire Leah. He always wanted Rachel. See, but the custom was you can't take the younger sister before the elder sister. See, and it's the same way with us. How can you bring forth a life in the womb of the heart? Or how can you bring forth life unless first there is the carrier? There first of all has to be the shell. There has to be the carrier. And then the life and the divine conception can come. And then through that, the individual can develop the child through the travail of trying to go through godly motherhood, as we say. Withdrawing from the world, keeping the body in good shape, not partaking of the things of the world, spiritually speaking now. So then there is a spiritual Jew. There is a spiritual transition in the earth. There is a spiritual sleep. There is a spiritual awakening. There is a spiritual death. And there is a spiritual resurrection. God is a spirit. So then everything that is spiritual pertains to God. Because God is a spirit. And all this other you see is just lying vanities that got in the way. It just got in the way. Satan is the prince of this world. He is the one that allures. He uses the shell. He uses the body. He uses the passions. And he is the one that is the God of this world. God is not the God of this world as to God the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Satan that is the God of this world, even the prince of this world. So far as the kingdoms being redeemed as to God being the God of this world, as to our Lord Jesus Christ, he's the only true and living God. See, it doesn't even come until after Antichrist comes forth. It doesn't come until the man-child is caught up to the throne. As far as the Bible uses the terms, though we might be Lord of all, yet as a child, you know, we're under tutors. So that is, through our tutoring, we are like a child or different nothing from a child. So we don't have any control. But when the bar mitzvah comes as to the catching up to the throne, then that means that we are in control. So Revelation gives it that the very moment that the child goes up to the throne, then immediately from that point, he's in full control. And the kingdoms of this world are then declared to be the kingdoms of God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. But until then, they're not the kingdoms of our God nor the kingdoms of our Christ. That is to say, this world of vanity, Satan is the god of this world. God has given it into his hand for a certain period of time. So that means that we are under the constraint of a false government. We are under the constraint of a false law, a false knowledge. It's called education. We are under the constraint of powers that align vanities that must pass away. And the whole thing is but a shell so that life can form within the shell. God has this thing so that life can come forth from God through Calvary's travail, and then out of that shall come forth a great nation. So then, this is why that Jesus did what he did. The Lord Jesus Christ travailing at Calvary, the Bible said, and he is the beginning of the creation of God. And much we could say about that. But I just want to move along from one thing to another here to try to bring in a thought. See, look at this. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs. There's a little clue right there. When it says fig trees, we know that that relates back to the Jews. So Jesus spoke of the fig tree as to when it began to blossom. We see Calvary, and we see the Son of God in travail. We see what is referred to as the Jewish nations are the nation. We see them rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this happening. There is a rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pilate says, will you therefore kill your king and reject your king? And they said, he's not our king. But yet God prepared the heart of Pilate to write it. Pilate wrote it up there. See, that is to say, the Pharaoh of that day, as it was in the type, the Pharaoh after Moses, the Pharaoh of that day wrote it up there, and Pilate put it, the King of the Jews. It's the King of the Jews, no matter what. They said, no, change it. Said, just put it up there that he said he was the King of the Jews. No, he said, what I've written, I've written. That's what it is. It's the King of the Jews. And so then, when Jesus died, it was God Almighty smiting the shell, smiting the body. Jesus had come in the likeness of sinful flesh and to destroy sin and to make an end of sin. And God smote that shell, or smote that body, doing away with sin, making an end of sin. So then, in doing that, it was sin. It was the dragon, it was the serpent, it was the blood life. When Jesus was made sin, God saw him as the serpent. He saw him as the red dragon. He saw him as the blood life. He saw him in the image of sin, my sin and your sin. And I brought this out the other night as to, I will help thee, thy worm, Jacob. We spoke of the metamorphosis. So then, here it is. The great, wonderful Christ on the inside had at last come forth. Jesus from a manger, a little baby in a manger, growing in the knowledge of Almighty God, growing in favor with man. And after a while, this Christ on the inside of the shell had come to the ripening place. It had come to the fullness. And all of a sudden, this Christ just reached down and got this body and took this body of flesh, and just like Samson, when Samson reached out and got the gate. Remember that Jesus, he's the door. He's the door. Wisdom stands at the doorpost, at the gate. The Christ just reached out in his great, marvelous strength and picked up the door, which was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ,
and took it and hang it up here at Calvary, or set it on the hillside like Samson. When Samson got moved, he just went out, picked up the gates to the city, just reached out, got the gates, the doorpost and everything, and just took them like that and took them up to the top of the hill and set them at the top of the hill to show Calvary, and that a door was now open in heaven. When Jesus said, I'm the door, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man can get to the Father but by me. The people was literally astounded. They couldn't figure out how that those mighty gates got up there. So then this was shown as Jesus was standing on the Mount of Transfiguration. Here appeared Moses, and here appeared Elijah. See, here Jesus was in the midst of it. Jesus with the two doorposts. He had set it right up here and opened a door in heaven. His raiment glistened. And these that were in the earth, they looked right through the door and saw Jesus and Moses and Elijah there. See, so the doorpost goes back to the law and to the prophets. Jesus is the door. This door hinges upon those great doorposts, and that is why that the Bible gives it that Moses and Elijah sitting on the right hand and the left. It doesn't say it like that. But when James and John asked to have this privilege, then Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. But God allowed them to do that because they were the ones that Jesus always called for in the earth. They represented these two prophets. See, the sons of thunder. The thunder, the lightning, and the rent veil, a great noise. The Bible said, and the whole earth will pass away with a great noise. And so then we see that Elijah, Moses sitting on the right hand and on the left, the law and the prophets, and grace being the doorway. This is such a beautiful thing as we see God and we see what He's doing. Jesus coming in a manger. But He growed until He got stronger and stronger. See, to open a door. So we see Him according to the Bible here, according to the book of Revelation, we see Him hanging over there at Calvary. There He is, hanging at Calvary. And all of a sudden, the wrath of God comes. The heavens turn black, the thunder begins to roll, the lightning begins to flash, the veil is rent in twain, the rocks are rent in twain. All of a sudden, this thing happens. God brings a resurrection. All the way down to the earth, He clave the earth, and Mother Nature had to give up the child, just like a Caesarean. Had to give up the child. Out came the child. So then, I said that to say this. When Jesus was smitten at Calvary, when He went down at Calvary, that indicated that God had smoked the red dragon. God had done away with sin. And we look back and see the type of it. As Moses was lifted up, or the serpent there was lifted up rather, with Moses in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, because the curse came from the tree of knowledge. And the tree had to be cut down. And John, no greater than John. And the Bible said John came and laid the axe to the root of the tree. And John cut down the old tree of knowledge all the way from Calvary back to the garden. And all of the generation of vipers went down. So then, Jesus, hanging at Calvary, there He was, hanging at Calvary, and that was the serpent. That was the serpent that Moses had lifted up. No one could get away from the bites of those serpents except the ones that looked upon the serpent, the brazen serpent. And here was Calvary, and there was the serpent. Jesus made like the worm Jacob, as the Lord referred to it. And there He hung at Calvary, making an end of sin, called the brazen serpent because it was the big brazen altar of God that was brought in the evening time of life. In the Old Testament, they had the great big brazen altar of God with the fire never to go out. And here was the brazen altar of God in the evening time of life. See, the lamb was sacrificed in the evening time. And here Jesus is fulfilling the Old Testament. And there He is, the brazen serpent, the brazen altar, where the fiery indignation of God never goes out. It burns day and night,
day and night, as we say in that world, there is no night. But day and night it burns the wrath of God against sin and against evil and against the transgression of His law. And the fire of His wrath is never consumed. It never goes out. They couldn't let that fire die. And the Bible said, and they shall be cast, the beast, the false prophet, the people that do wrong, shall be cast into a lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. Said these were cast in there alive, burning with fire and brimstone. Said, and they shall be tormented day and night in the presence of God and of the holy angels. David said, if I go into hell, God is there. He's going to see me there. There's nothing that can keep God from seeing me. In the belly of the whale, Jonah said, I went down into hell. In the belly of the whale, the type of Jesus going down into the heart of the earth. The seaweeds wrapped about my head. Down he went, but God saw him in the belly of the whale. So then I said that again to say this, that Calvary, there the big brazen altar stood at Calvary. There was something that was taking place. The Lamb, that one that was without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. He had become a human being. And yet He was a Lamb. He was tender. And yet He was made in the image of sin as to a beast. Even a lamb, even as a beast. The bullocks, every one of those things of the Old Testament, of every sacrifice that is made, even the meal that is ground upon the stone, shows the coming of the Holy Spirit. That Jesus is beat and bruised, His beard plucked, beat and bruised, just like you take and bruise the serpent's head with the stone. Whereas the prophecy said, and thy seed shall bruise his head. And the crown of thorns went on his head to bruise the head of the serpent. That is to say, the image of sin, to keep from bruising your head, in that you're born in that image, and in that you come through the channel of the worm Jacob. So then God bruised the head. The back was beaten. It was plowed like a field. All of these things took place. So there was something spiritually that was happening. Though all of these things naturally was taking place, but yet there was something spiritually that was happening. See, it says here, and as a fig tree shakes her untimely figs and they fall off. Here Jesus was literally shaken like a tree. The Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. And Jesus was hanging on a tree. And that was an untimely thing as to sin, and yet timely in the sight of God. But the smiting of the serpent, I brought it out the other night, where the Bible said, and God heard the groaning of the prisoners and loosed them that was appointed unto death, bringing the bar mitzvah and many things that we have on tape concerning that. But here at this very moment, what was taking place? He was rejected of His Heavenly Father. And He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Or He could have said, my God, what have I done that You would turn away from me? I've not done anything wrong. But see, Brother Pike done something wrong. Brother Taylor done something wrong. You done something wrong. All that's listening to me has done something wrong. And so then Jesus could have said, I've not done anything wrong. But I say, oh, Heavenly Father, I've done something wrong. And that was my atonement. He was delivered for my offenses. The Bible said He was raised for my justification. I'm therefore justified by faith. Through the grace of God, by the blessings of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, by His works and suffering and humble submission as we sing the song, I'm the one that was freed. I'm the one that's justified. When He came up out of the grave, it was for my justification. And when God looks down from heaven on me, I am now justified. He doesn't see any sin in my life. He doesn't see any wrong in my life because I'm now justified. I'm justified. When He came out, that meant the wrath was passed over. When He came out, that meant that people could live again. That life was here again by the power of God. And the beginning of the creation of God was here. And that there was a living person that had overcome death. And this person was living again, which was Brother Pike. It was Brother Pike that went to Calvary. It was Brother Pike that went down into hell. It was Brother Pike that came out of that grave. And it's Brother Pike that lives today. I thank God for that. Somebody say hallelujah. So then, if you believe that,
If you believe that, then that means that was you that hung at Calvary. That was you that went down into the grave. He was delivered for your offenses. That was your sinful carcass, as we say, that was hanging there, not the precious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, he was hanging there for you. The Bible said, whithersoever the carcass is, thither shall the eagles be gathered together. See, so it was your carcass hanging there. There at Calvary, this great thing happened. And to use the Jew to bring forth the thing in the shale that the life might be, that was on the other side of Calvary. It was the Jew. It was the law. When the thing was fully ripe, when the thing had come to the full, we say the fullness of time, or when it had come to its fullness, then God broke the egg. God rent the veil. God brought forth Christ. That's the reason they use the little rabbit, you know, and they use Easter and the bunny. He's quick like that, you know, and they do that to show the quickening. And the egg shows the resurrection as to the breaking forth. And the prize egg, you know, you look for the prize egg, which is always Jesus. But anyway, to try to explain what we're saying, you know, rabbits don't lay eggs. So, to say what we're trying to say here, all of a sudden the Lord Jesus went down. He went down. What happened? God was shaking the heavens. Somebody said, no, wait a minute, Brother Pike. He was in the earth. But he said to Nicodemus, I'm in heaven. Isn't that right? Nicodemus, the son of man, which is in heaven. Speaking of being in heaven. And God began to shake the heavens. What was he doing? He was shaking the second heaven. This is why I keep saying what I'm saying to you. He was shaking the second heaven. Why was he shaking the second heaven? If you look over in the book of Revelation, you'll find in Revelation 12 that John said when he looked in the heaven, which is the second heaven, when he looked in the second heaven, he saw the dragon, he saw the woman in hard travail, he saw the child being born, he saw the child going up to another heaven, up to a third heaven. What was that? That was Paul. See, that was Paul, that was Christ. Paul said, not me living, but Christ living within me. And whether in my body or out of my body, I can't say. He said, I can't tell. But such a one as I was caught up to the third heaven and saw things that's not even lawful for me to utter. So then going up, see, Calvary, the travail in Christ went up. Christ went up. But see, there had to be somebody that would go up and come back down so that we could have the witness in the earth. And that had to be Paul. The travail had taken place. And Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ that's living within me. And the life I live by the Son of God. And up went Paul to the third heaven. And there he was, caught away into the third heaven. And of course, Paul came back, fulfilling the scriptures that say, I set you to be a light unto the Gentiles throughout the entire earth. And here was Paul. Here was the beginning of the church ages. Here was the nine churches that Paul had established. Here was Paul in the midst of those churches saying, it's not me but Christ. And here is God choosing seven of them to represent the church ages. And down to the last ones come Paul. Paul again in the midst of the candlesticks, and yet we know it was Christ. Starting with the man, starting with a shale. Folks, when he started with me, he started with a shale. I remember the vision he gave me concerning even this little pool out here concerning Salem. He started with a shale. See, the hen just picks up a little piece here and a little piece there. And he started with a shale. But see, that little germ of life, as we say, whatever it is, it's on the inside of the shale. I am made partakers of the divine Holy Ghost of God. I cannot sin because I'm born of God. The Bible says there's no sin, there's no death. I have the divine conception of His seed remaining within me, and I cannot sin. That seed is Christ. So then, He started with a shale. He's worked with me. All down through the years, He's worked with me. What is He doing? Brother Taylor sings the song, God is bringing forth a man-child. God is using the shale to bring forth the man-child. And hallelujah, out of my heart, out of my mind, out of my soul, out of my being, God brings forth a man-child. But it's not me living. The outer man is perishing, but the inner man is renewed day by day. And God is laying aside the shale, and God buried this body. He buried this body in a watery grave.
that he might bring forth the new man and the new life and the new hope. So then we say, well, Brother Pike, what in the name of reasoning is going on there? Jesus is falling. He's falling. He's falling. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, Jesus is falling? Being made in the image of sin, the Heavenly Father rejects him. Look at Adam. Was Adam the son of God? The Bible said he was the son of God. It did not say he was a son of God. It said he was the son of God. So then was Adam the son of God? But he fell. He fell. He fell from that lofty glory of God. He fell. He was put out. He fell. Now, why did he fall? Not because he was sinful. Not because he had done anything. How could a son of God sin? There was nothing that he had done. It was the shell that had done it. It was the body that had done it. It was his wife that had done it. It was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. But in doing it, the Shekinah glory had to be taken away. The dispute is always over the body. See, and so then when we look at it, we realize that Adam fell. He fell all the way from paradise, all the way from heaven, down into this world of briars and thorns. What was it? It was the red dragon. Sin was cast out. The Bible said in the beast, the old serpent was cast out. All of that in the garden was a type that Moses wrote about. But see, the real serpent, the Bible speaks of the beast. Some of you brute beasts made to be taken and burned. See, and there's a differentiating between beast and sons of God. So then the serpent failed. In Adam, all die. All die because of Adam. See, and so it was. There it came to pass. That is to say, the expulsion, Adam put out of the garden, and the sentence of death was placed within Adam because Adam died. Adam died, or all in Adam dies. And the axe was laid under the root of the tree. When it came to Calvary, the axe was laid under the root of the tree that that tree might be cut down, that that generation of vipers might die all the way back to the garden, that they might die. So then we see the axe laid to the root of the tree. We see a changeover. We see Calvary making an end of the red dragon. We see the blood spill, which causes him to be called the red dragon. And I brought out the other night how the blood, the life is in the blood. If you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ, you don't have any life, because when he said, I'll see the blood and then I'll pass over you, that means the life is in the blood. So when we think about Calvary, it means that the serpent is being smitten. Jesus is falling. Falling, saying, oh my God, why am I falling? Why am I falling? I've been in your presence all of this time. Why hast thou forsaken me, O God? Why are you turning away from me? But see, Jesus all of a sudden became sin, your sins and my sin. He becomes sin in the sight of God. And the Bible said that God cannot look upon iniquity. And God began to withdraw. The Heavenly Father began to withdraw. And all become black and dark, because he can't look on iniquity. See, and in that moment, this is the fulfillment where it says, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Right there, he gave him. He forsook him right there. Gave him up in death, and gave him up in sorrow, and gave him up in misery. Right there, he forsook him. Gave him up. See, but before he did that, he gave the Christ a promise that would enter into that body. He said, you can lay this body down or you can take it up, this commandment you have of me. So, we see that with the falling of Jesus, he was King of the Jews. As to the natural body, one day he's coming back at the end of the tribulation period, and they're going to see the nails, and they're going to say, where did you get these nails? And he's going to say, in the house of my friends. And they're going to moan. They're going to moan. And the Bible said, and a nation shall be born in one day. They'll weep and they'll mourn. They'll cry. What a sad time it will be, as it was with Jacob's funeral. See, and they will mourn of it. Why? Because it will be the hour of the nation of Israel coming to the birth. So then when we see this, we see that Jesus fell. We read it in the book of Revelation. It said, and the tree was shaken like a wind shaking a fig tree.
and the fig tree dropping off the untimely figs. And all of a sudden, when this tree was shaken, the Jewish people begin to drop out of the presence of God. They begin to drop off of the tree. They begin to go into the darkness. And ever since that time, they've wandered in the darkness, wandering, no light. See, like the wandering stars for whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. That is reflectors. This body is a reflector. It only reflects the life of the inner man. It's a shell. It's a lined vanity. It goes back to the dust. And the Jews were representing the shell part. So then the tree was shaken. And the figs fell, as we say. And into darkness went the people. That is into intellectual darkness. And God said, Paul, I've given you light. Turn my people from darkness to light. See, bringing them from the darkness into the light. They fell into the darkness. Today, they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They're still wandering around. When we go into Israel, you know, I was so disappointed the first time I ever went over. It hadn't dawned on me about the Jews. You know, the way they feel about Christmas. And we were over there at Christmas time on, maybe it was the second time. But we was over there at Christmas time. And I thought, you know, praise God in the Holy Land, the place of Christmas. And then I didn't see no Christmas. I didn't see nothing going. You know, I thought, what is this? And then it dawned on me. And I thought, wait a minute now. Christmas comes from the word Christ. And Christmas means the Catholic Mass. Christ Mass. You know, and they don't believe in Christ over here. You know, there won't be any Christmas. They're not going to celebrate Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? So then those Jews in darkness today, they don't celebrate anything concerning the birth of Jesus. Nor do they know anything about the crucifying of Christ so far as the Messiah is concerned. But one day God is going to move that darkness. One day God is going to bring them people to acknowledgement that the Messiah is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then here when we see this, it means that that tree was shaken and those figs, as we say, begin to fall off of the tree. It was the hour of the judgment of God. It goes on to say in the book of Revelation, it was that great hour. In the book of Malachi, we read it, where it said, and the Lord of hosts shall suddenly come to his temple, whose temple ye are, shall suddenly come into the temple. That is, God will suddenly move into the heart of mankind. And the Bible said, if any man deny that, he is Antichrist. If he deny that Christ lives in a human body. So then the tabernacle of God is among men, as John saw in the Revelation. Which tabernacle is your body? For Peter said, as long as we're in this tabernacle, God in measure, according to whatever, toward the full measure of the full stature of the church, God in his fullness dwells in you. So then, I said that to say this, the tree was shaken. The figs fell from the tree. It was the hour of judgment. Malachi says, he will send his messenger, even John, the great one, and he shall forerun. And then it says, and the Lord of hosts shall come, and the day shall burn as an oven. We say burn as an oven, there is a coming of the Lord in the natural. There is the coming of the true prophets in the natural. It's going to burn as an oven. Everything's going to utterly be burned up. But right here at Calvary is the blazing wrath of God. The law works the wrath of God. And here comes God, the consuming fire, as the Bible describes him. And the day is burning as an oven. And God is consuming all sin by consuming this body. He is placing judgment upon everyone that will not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And though it's deferred unto the end time, as the Daniel's last week, yet the judgment of God upon sinners is right there. They're cut off right there. They don't have to wait till the church ages or the tribulation period to be cut off. They're already cut off. God cut them off. He cut them off in his foreknowledge. But he cut them off as to bringing it to light at Calvary. The Bible said, if this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was brought to light at Calvary. Paul said when he was preaching, as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. So then we see that the predestinated work of God here is brought to light. And from Calvary, man is officially cut off. Just like he is officially healed by the stripes of Christ. He is officially healed. But he don't get his healing until he believes in it. And he can't get his healing until he's born into the world. Though Calvary was many years ago.
That's to come the time of his birth into the world and then his acquaintance with Calvary and then to believe what Calvary offered to him as those benefits of Calvary. So then mankind is already in heaven from Calvary, or he's already cut off and he's already in hell from Calvary. It's already predetermined by God, and man is one way or another. And when the preacher comes to preach what he's doing, he's preaching like Paul did, and all that's ordained unto eternal life will believe what I'm preaching. Them that are not ordained unto eternal life, they'll say, I don't see that. I can't believe that. I don't know that. How are you going to prove it to me, somebody says. See, but them that have an ear to hear, them that have eyes to see, they're not going away and sit down around tea cakes and coffee and gossip and tear the preacher up and do away with the message. They're not going to do that because they're preordained unto life. They're going to believe. They're going to hear. They're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. They're not going to run around after the world. They're not going after the things of the world. They're going to be like Ruth. Ruth knew where the prize was. And that's the way the true bride of Christ is going to be. Like it was Dale that was telling me today, something was taking place. Told me something about, I don't remember what it was, Dale or somebody. Who was it? Something about Boaz today. Anyway, they were saying something about going to a place or buying something. Something that had to do with Boaz. And it come in right at a kind of a precision moment when we was talking about some things. So, here is Calvary. The Lord is rejected. He's fallen. What does it mean for him to fall? It is Lucifer cast out of heaven. See, if you'll notice, when the veil is rent in twain, God chooses two people to represent the Lord Jesus Christ because he made it himself twain. One of them is Peter and one of them is Paul. And if you'll notice, it is Paul that represents the Christ that took the body, Jesus, to Calvary. So he smites Peter. And he said, I blame Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. And as it was, the body was falling out of the presence of God, being rejected and going out of the light of God into the darkness of intellectual reasoning, as to saying, why hast thou forsaken me? See, if you'll notice, it is Peter that history records that was crucified upside down and fell from heaven, as we say. As lightning, Jesus said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. And so then the fall, we see it. See, and we find that with the fall, Peter representing the fall, going into darkness, turning back under the law, withdrawing. When Paul was there, Paul said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? See, and in his fall, we know that the Catholic Church is born and they call him the first pope. So the serpent went out into the earth, and the Roman powers has been in the earth ever since with a crown. We've got some teachings on that. We won't go into that tonight. But anyway, I said that to say this. See, the Lord was being smitten. The head was being bruised. Down he went. Jesus, that is the Christ, said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. When Jesus fell from the presence of God, that was Satan. He trapped him in that body. Jesus trapped Satan in that body. That is to say, he was made sin when he knew no sin. But he was made sin and he trapped Satan in that body to the extent that he crucified that body. He took that body to Calvary, and with the smiting of that body, it smote Lucifer, or the red dragon, or the serpent, as we say, the brazen serpent. Jesus being lifted up, it was the smiting. And that's why that you saw the crown of thorns. Thorns going on here. Because it represented the beast that had the horns that come up out of the waters. That is to say, John, the horns in the midst of the waters, in the midst of the people. And the crowning of it. See, as it came up out of the water. So it was with that the Roman Catholic Church was born. It was born. See, the Christ went away, came back and picked up the body of Jesus. Then the body was a spiritual body, and it was the double portion, for the inner man had made the outer man to be a perfect image of the inner man. And so they now was one, And he went away and set that body, that vesture dipped in blood, at the right hand of the Father for the atonement of sin, that you might have this day of grace, and that he might not destroy the human beings that are out yonder until this day of grace was over. He can't see their sins. He can't look upon iniquity. He's seeing the blood of Jesus. But one day, as I preached this sermon the other night, he will awake when the Lord awakes. So then we see that the fall of it was the Jews going out. It was the Jews that was going out. It was Jesus that was smitten. But it was the last part of humanity going out, as John laid the axe to the root of the tree. The last part of humanity going out, and it was the curling around of the tail, the end of that generation. Jesus said a generation of vipers. It was the end of that viper. As he curled his tail around the third part of the stars, which was represented by the Jews, in that we say the Jews, and we say the Catholics and the Protestants. Or we say the Jew, Gentile, and church, dividing them into three parts. And the Jews being the third part of it. The Bible speaks of taking a third part through the fire and purging a third part. And so then in the wrapping around of the tail, as we say, of the old intellectual indoctrination of the Catholic powers. And it'll show up in the natural, in that right now they're calling the Jew their elderly brother. So then the Roman powers, the paganistic Roman powers, we see this thing happening. So the fall came. The fall came, and a third part, even the Jews, went out of the presence of God to represent that the veil had been rent, and the shell was in one place, and the life was now in another place. And as the Bible said, Paul brought it out as to a marriage, saying that if the man be dead, the woman is at liberty to be married to another body. See, that is to another head. Or that is to say, when we speak of it as the rent veil, the shell, or the rending of the veil, in that he made in himself twain, both Christ and the Lord, rending the veil, then the shell went away. And now we find as the Christ comes up, the Bible said he appeared in another form. That is to say, Peter said, as we have borne the earthly image of the shell of Adam, so shall we bear the heavenly image of the body of the Son of God, even the temple, the Lord Jesus Christ. One is the tabernacle, one is the temple. Called you a temple. Now, I want to say this. I run through those few little things to say this. Ordinarily, I wouldn't have went through it because the atmosphere really isn't right for that kind of thing. But I'll run through them to bring this back to your remembrance. Remember, there is a second heaven. There is a second heaven. That second heaven was where John saw the dragon. The dragon means that those people that are wicked, that are born of the blood, life. They're under the blood covering of Jesus that's on the seat of atonement. Which means they are in the days of grace, and they are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness by doing all kind of wicked things and still boasting of God's love. Whereas it is God's love to that extent, till the church can mature. I brought that out the other night. Now, when you think about this, the red dragon is laying in there. You see, in the natural, this thing is happening. In the physical realm, this thing is happening. In the spiritual realm, this thing is happening. And if we had time, we'd bring it out in all three realms, as the first heaven and second heaven and third heaven is happening. So then you see communism coming out of China. The old red dragon. You see it happening. You saw Jimmy Carter, we likened unto J.C. They put him a beard on and put J.C. as to Jesus Christ. And we brought out the travail as to the rent veil as to Ronald Reagan's having to do with the Christ part of it, ruling with a rod of iron, being a movie star, going up. We brought these things out and many other like things in the natural to show it. Now see, we're around to this part of it. When the serpent, that is to say people that don't love God, the worm, when they climb up into the upper lintel, they get up here. That is, they get up into the second heaven. They don't belong up here. And they're between the third heaven and you that are down here. You understand what I'm saying? Because they've got up here. So then God gives grace. And when God gives grace, we see the Jew over there in this natural thing where the woman, the Jew, foot on the moon, the sun clothed in the sun, the stars over the head, which also has to do in the spiritual perspective with the church. The stars being the 12 stars, being the apostolic leaders. That is, as to crown, the crowned. Over there is to a crown of thorns representing this. Because Jesus at Calvary shows that woman, the feminine part, the church in hard travail. So, in the different steps as to where this is found, numbers of them we would have to bring in, just tying one or two together to where you can get a lead on it and then follow it out, and God will show you these things and reveal these things to you in its completeness. When we see this, then we find out that the woman is up here in travail. The red dragon is waiting to devour the child. I brought it out numbers of times. The red dragon, the intellectual powers of that natural birth, right in there saying, you know, here is a religious one, make a ball player out of him. Here is a religious one, make a governor out of him. Here is a religious one, make a millionaire out of him. Or make a whoremonger out of her, or a harlot, you know, or whatever. Whoremonger out of him, harlot out of her, whatever. See, it's laying right there, waiting to devour that child. Just as quick as it comes into a religious perspective, in the heavenly perspective as to grace, it's waiting right there to grab it. And it's made havoc out of the church. But the true man child escapes. The true man child gets the mind of Christ. And it gets out of that old natural mind of the mother. The old shell part. And up it goes to God. It gets into this revelation. This is the third mind coming in. This is the third world coming in. This is the third part coming in. The people, only the people that are born to the Spirit, only the people that have the mind of Christ, only the people that are the spiritual body of Christ will get this revelation or enter into this world. See, the Jews said, will you bring the kingdom at this time? He said, the kingdom of God's not by observation. It's not by observation. The kingdom of God is not by observation. Since they said, will you restore the kingdom? That is the kingdom of David. Will you restore it at this time? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Not of this world. But the kingdom of Satan is. But the law and the prophets, they were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has come. We're preaching the kingdom of God. And Jesus Christ is the door open into that kingdom. And men that love God and women that love God are persevering and pressing their way against the old intellectual lust and the things of this world. Pressing their way against that into this righteous place of God, into this holy mind of God, into this cleanliness, into this kingdom of God. For the Bible said, God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. So then we're preaching the new highway to glory. That means that all of this that we're seeing of PTL falling, I tell you again, that is the second heaven. It's the old money web. All of them's got their paws in it. Bringing all of them in there together. All of those fabulous, famous ministers, men. It's bringing them in. Now it's locked in on the assemblies. It's going to hit the Baptists. It's already struggled through Jerry Falwell. See, it's going to bring in every last one of them. All those denominational powers. All those great leaders. See, because like Oral Roberts, he's the great leader of the Methodist Church. Billy Graham, the great leader of the Baptist Church. They moved Billy's place. Took that home and moved it over to PTL, the Heritage Village. And Billy, he comes over and he says, I've seen so many of your programs, Jim. I feel like I'm part of the family. And it really is. So then, the whole thing. See, like Jimmy Swaggart fighting against Oral Roberts. Calling him a pigeon, I understand. That was a report I got. And Oral Roberts prophesying. They said he prophesied against Jimmy and said God would get Jimmy. Jimmy Swaggart, God will get him for causing problems among the brethren and for coming against Jim Baker. Well, anyway, on it goes. But it is that thing that we said would happen. We predicted it. We prophesied that these things would come to pass. See, and now that second heaven is falling. That second heaven has been connected with religion. when it was all together a money-making scheme, and when it was gimmicks, but it's been connected with religion. And PTL, all of it began to head up into PTL, their heritage. So it's all coming together. Like I said the other night, you know, the Bible speaks of the butler and the baker. And it was all heading up into the one that hang himself, even Judas, back to the baker. So you can see it's falling. That great empire, Satan, the whole world, the government, all is going to be involved in it. Everything will be involved in it. Because it's the heavens, it's going to pass away with a great noise. The bombs is going to come into it. See, everything is at an end. Why is that? Because in the book of Revelation, in that second heaven, where that woman was in hard travail, that dragon was waiting to devour that child. See, right there, communism is laying in there. The powers of evil are laying in there. See, and that woman has to do with America. Looking at it in this perspective, she's considered a woman's world. 13 stars back to the crown of the woman. So then, see, the dragon is laying in there. Waiting. You remember when that communist killer came over here and was right there with Jimmy Carter. Remember? I'm going to come to an end in just a few minutes here to close out. It's falling. The heavens are falling. Like the little story about Chicken Little. The heavens is falling. See, the heavens is falling in. They're all at their end. They've done their thing. They've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. They call that a soap opera. A soap opera would be a credit to the things that those people have done. So then the soap operas, along with all the rest of it, PTL Club and 700 Clubs and all the other clubs. See, all the denominations are gathered together. It's a second heaven. It's been an interwoven thing. And now it's crumbling. Now it's coming down. It's Lucifer falling. The old blood life is over. Why? Because right there, when that dragon was there, that child went up to the third heaven. Right here in the midst of all of this, the church has been right in there, going along right through grace, right in that second heaven, going right along, but all of a sudden the child is coming out now, and the child is going up to the third heaven. That is, the third mind is coming in, the third world. Paul showed it. When he got caught up to the third heaven, he had the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, the child. But the time wasn't right. Now, no one can go into this place except through Christ. No one belongs to this world except those spiritual beings that have this mind. A mind is a world. A mind is a world. That's why we have such an outstanding world now as to convenience, because of the mind of science. It brought us from the old primitive mind of the caveman. See, a mind is a world. And now we've got the mind of God. And the Bible said, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Now we're equal with God. Now He's brought us into His equality. Now we've found the new highway to glory. Now we've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and here we are in heaven. Jesus said, "The Son of Man, which is in heaven, proved it, walked up on the mountain, appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah." So then this is where we're at. See, we've transcended. We've come into a certain place. We've been in this place all the time. God's had us protected. But see, we couldn't be partakers of it, only to the little bit that we understood. That is, as to the new birth, like a little baby that was never yet developed. But now the mind is developing. We're beginning to look around. And as the songwriter said, we're in a new world since the Lord saved me, or us. So we look around. And I say, we're in a new world since the Lord saved us, or saved me. So I see it. See, I've come over into this. And like the Jews were cut off and the Gentiles came in to bring in the second heaven, the Jews as to the first heaven being cut off, the Gentiles brought into the third heaven, now we've come to that great change again. And this time it is the Gentiles being cut off and the church is coming in. See, and the church is going into their heaven. And this is the final analysis of it. This is the great place of the eternal abode. This is the place of His rest. They're going in now, and all the rest will be blinded. All the medicines will finally leave, and the Bible said His kingdom will be filled with darkness so far as light of understanding. There won't be any understanding. Won't be any medical healing. In the Bible said in that day there'll be no healing medicines. And the Bible said they'll gnaw their tongue with pain and the wrath of God shall be poured out upon them. That's why I told you that you're not going through the tribulation period. God isn't going to put His people through the tribulation period. You say, what is He going to do, Brother Pike? He's doing it right now. He's doing it right now. It's not what He's going to do. It's what He's doing right now. You just don't see it. The Bible said, and they that are creatures of the darkness, they that are of this world, they'll not see when good comes. They won't see this. All they can see is frolic and prestige and eating and drinking and doping around and drinking and all these kind of things that pertain to the world, whether it be bad drink or good drink. Just eating, you know, out there in the world. They won't see this. Because the eyes of their understanding, the Bible said, Lucifer, the god of this world, hath blinded the eye, their eyes, which is the eyes of their understanding, that they should not see when good comes. And that the wrath of God and the coming of the Lord, all these things will be as a snare upon all them that dwell on the earth. But not you and I. For we're not children of the darkness, of the intellectual reasoning, of the old tree of knowledge, of the educational system of the world. We're not children of that. We're children of light, revelation, understanding, the scales falling from our eyes as it did Paul, that he might have the revelation. So then we're not looking at things through glass darkly. See, the second heaven is fallen. How is it falling? The grace of God's been lifted. God let that thing go on with PTL. He kept, as long as the grace of God was there, everything was fine. But I told you, I said, the Gentile days is at an end, and the grace will be lifted. When it's lifted, I said, as God starts to lift it, there's going to be all kind of wrecks, all kind of bad weather, going to be all kind of clashes, and they will fight each other. I said, they'll fight each other, which they're doing right now. See, and there'll be all kind of diseases and all kind of afflictions, all kind of governmental interruptions, all of this thing, because as the grace of God lifts, then the wrath of God begins to move, and all of these things, see, it gets in a jumble. Satan, he can't run the thing. He doesn't have any light. He's in darkness. Look at the thing. It's the most mixed up, messed up, ungodly, sloppy mess that has ever been. It's Babylon, if there ever was a Babylon. And you know what? We spoke of Babylon being restored. It was said a long time ago that it would be restored. And now I understand that over here, just out of Iraq, just a few miles south, that's Babylon. And now they're fixing to have a great to-do over there. Some great king, I understand, has said, don't spare anything. And they're coming out of Russia. All different parts of the world. Remember, Jimmy Carter's over there doing his thing, as we say. So they're coming out. They're going to have a big musical to do. See, building back the walls of Babylon. Back to the old city of Babylon. The habitation of devils and demons. For the Bible said Babylon is fallen, is fallen. She's become the habitation of devils and demons. Spiritual Babylon. Mystery Babylon. See, but they're building back the natural Babylon now. And they're going to have all that stuff. Looking back, as somebody said, right back to the old Babylon thing. Right back to the music of the 666 and the Plains of Dura, which I made the statement brings in Jimmy Carter and the Plains of Dura. Going back to Babylon, the old 666. Jimmy having been crowned by the Jews before, over there just before we got there. Now here he is over there again just before we go over. So there is something that is happening. Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots. She's fallen, she's fallen. For there came an angel from heaven having a great light. And that light shined throughout the earth. And men saw that great light. And Babylon fell. Great and mighty Babylon fell. So then the angels flew through the heavens crying, woe, woe, woe. 666. Woe unto them, it said. Woe unto them that are in the earth. For Lucifer is among you. He's among you. See, that is to say, when he can't get that child, he goes after that mother. That mother's represented as the Jews, and they go into the wilderness as to that part of humanity. A place prepared over the Jordan until the tribulation period is over. And Revelation 19 comes where the blood runs in the horse's bridle. to bring in the 1,000 years restoration of the millennium, the great garden. See, but the child, salvation is of the Jews. The child goes up to the throne. America is in travail. That is to say, a child is coming forth, looking for a leader to represent this great spiritual thing that God is doing. So, folks, we're right there at that time. And I want to say this to you as I close out. Remember, the spiritual application of this is that the kingdom of God is within you. Paul said their thoughts being the means as to service to God, while else accusing one another, excusing one another. He said, serving God with the mind, even the spirit of holiness, who the world cannot receive because they see him not, but through the eyes of understanding, we do, we see him, even the spirit of Christ. The Holy Ghost, even the spirit of Christ, we see him, he's in our heart. See, that is to say, as to Christ projecting himself from within you in the kingdom of God, your spirit being in heaven within the inner kingdom. And while he comes into your heart, as to your new birth, as to your transformation of mind, he is eliminating the world. I want you to understand this, folks. Great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I'm made a steward of the mysteries. God lets us see the shell. He lets us see the natural things. Because we don't understand. We take, mark down a little number 2. We mark down another number 2. That's something we can see. Because we can't see the answer 4. But with those 2 and 2, we can come up with that which comes out of here. And we put it down and then we see the 4. It's made manifest. So, with the brightness of his coming from the innermost being of your spirit, that is to say, Christ within your spirit, that Christ spirit, it is coming forth and it is eliminating the world, for the world is not around you. All of this is lying vanities, it'll pass away. The world is in your heart. Now, I know you find that hard to get a hold of, but I say again, Jesus was flesh and bones. How many of you can deny that? When he rose from the dead, they said a spirit. He said, no, not a spirit. Fill of me. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Fill of me. You know, you feel of something. Something tangible. You feel that. Fill of me. But he turned and he walked through the wall. How did he do it? How did the flesh and them bones get through that wall? See, I'm telling you, all of its lying vanities. All of its lying vanities. Jonah said the belly of the whale is a lying vanity. It wasn't long, there wasn't no belly of the whale. He was up on the shore. Calling those things that are not as though they are. See, you try walking through the wall and see what happens. Why can't you walk through the wall? Well, somebody said, well, Jesus, you know, when he resurrected from the dead, he went to heaven. That's why. No, he was in heaven before he ever died. So, well, he couldn't walk through no wall. He did better than that. He walked up on top of the mountain and walked slap into heaven. He walked through the walls of resistance so far as humanity and the lying vanities and stood right in heaven before he ever died. Walking through the wall was easy for him. See, I'm telling you something, folks. It's all lying vanity. It's in your mind. It's in your mind. You're born with that depraved mind. It got into Adam through the weakness of Eve. Through that, it was handed down to the children. It's the sentence of death. It's the old carnal mind of unbelief. And to be carnally minded is to see lying vanities and die. And that's why the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That is to say, the mind of Christ is the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of God. No question about it. It's another world. It's the spirit of life. And your spirit was made for the garden. It was made for the garden. But when it got contaminated, Lucifer, the prince of this world, the rejected one, that is the ruler of darkness, that is to say, intellectual reasoning, he has infiltrated your body and will get your spirit. And just as soon as you come to the understanding of right and wrong, and you reject right, the sting of death goes into your spirit and you're dead, you're killed, you're cut off from God. But when you come to the knowledge of right and wrong and you accept God, the Holy Spirit seals your spirit to where the devil that infiltrates your body can never reach your spirit. You keep yourself and the evil one touches you not. And that spirit is taken out of that body, that shell is buried in water, and that spirit is in heaven. And God from heaven, the kingdom of heaven within you, and you within the kingdom of heaven, God, His Spirit, Christ, the mind, is working to get out into your outer body to eradicate the infiltration from glory to glory, from faith to faith, or that is from thought to thought, or from scripture understanding to scripture understanding, bringing an illumination or a glory. It is the brightness of the coming of the Ancient of Days. It is His brightness. That's why my mother saw what she saw. It is the brightness. And He said, I will destroy the man, the perdition. Speaking of Lucifer within the body, Paul said, no good thing dwelling in the body. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Speaking of the crucifixion. Seeing with the brightness of His coming, as to the illumination of every thought, as to a scripture, as to a faith, from faith to faith, the elimination and the illumination, the world, which is a mind, is going out. For God, just like I would take this Bible and translate this Bible as from one word to another word, and I take it from Greek and put it into English, God's great mind, God's great spirit, is transformating your mind. Paul said, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. Even devils and demons, even false men, can transform their minds. Satan becomes an angel of light by transforming his mind. Transformation would not be possible. Satan rules the world by transformation of mind as an angel of light. A religious thing is to the second heaven. Now, it wouldn't be possible for you to transform your mind if it wasn't for Calvary. But because of grace and God not seeing anybody's sins, then a devil can get in a human body out of China and come up here and preach like a house on fire, as you say. They can do it. Not only that, but people that are out chilling in the world that don't love the Lord Jesus Christ can come in the midst of this grace and get healed just like that. They've been known to get inspired. It was said that when the Beatles first come to America, got off of the plane, that people were so inspired that some of them jumped up out of a wheelchair. See, here's what I'm saying. Maybe you don't understand. There's a spiritual world. There's a spiritual thing. This mind of God through your new birth as to the growth and development of your little one on the inside, the child coming forth. Jesus grew in the knowledge, grew in the stature, grew in favor with man and God. See, it's on the inside of you till Christ be formed within you. And as a travail, as to surrender, as to denying oneself to follow Him and take up the cross. The song said, and I surrender, Lord, I surrender all to Thee, Lord, I surrender all. The song said, Jesus completely surrendered. It's up to you to surrender this body to Calvary. It's up to you. It's on the cross. You've got to surrender it. That is to say, the infiltration of the mind of the gullible desire of Satan, Lucifer, that loves the things of this world. If the love of the world be in you, the love of the Father is not there. See, and God is taking the world out of your heart. You've got to remember this. The Bible said God has set the world in your heart. That's why you're in the world. That's why Jesus could walk through the wall, because He didn't have the world in His heart. So He wasn't in the world. Now the Bible said you're not of the world. I've chosen you out of the world, and I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring or the restoration of all things. This is why faith does what it does. Faith, from faith to faith, by the hearing of the Word of God, an invisible God, a Spirit, said, let there be, and there was. And the Bible said God created all things by His Word, upholds all things by His Word, and the Bible says that God sent His Word and healed them, even when He made His Word flesh, even when He makes His Word as a spoken word to you, and you believe it. When Paul said to the man, be healed. So, I'm telling you this, that the world is in you. And you are a prisoner to your thoughts. Somebody said, oh, no, I don't believe it. Okay. Go down to the insane asylum. Go down to the mental institution. Go down there and you'll find a man that believes he's Samson. Or he believes he's Abe Lincoln. He's convinced that he is. 10,000 worlds wouldn't change it. He does the things that's like that. Take a man that gets carried away on dope and whiskey and begins to hallucinate. You'll find that, like one I heard of one time, he was telling me what happened to him. He said he trying to step off of a curb and the thing was so deep he just couldn't. He couldn't get the thing to work right. And he said he saw pink elephants, that he knew it was a pink elephant, said he saw it. You couldn't get him to go near that pink elephant. You know, you see a raging bull, and you wouldn't go near him. Another person walked just like Jesus walked through the wall and said, well, there ain't nothing there. You understand? So it's just a lying vanity. See, but you're imprisoned by your thoughts. The Bible said God will feed you the fruits of your thoughts, and according to a man's thoughts, as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. That's his world. Do thy diligence to keep thine heart, for out of it comes forth the issues of life. Even Elijah, as he stood there, the other man could not see the angels, nor the fiery chariots. That's why you fast and pray. You come into a place to where you can see these things around you, for they're there. Two or three gathered together, angels are there. Christ is in the midst. But you don't see it. See, you're blinded. But when Elijah said, open his eyes, said, they that be for us are more than that army that you're afraid of. And the Bible said the man's eyes come open and he saw those prancing horses and fiery chariots. See, it's the eyes of your understanding. Paul turned my people from darkness into light. So, this is what I'm speaking of, and much we need to say about it to clarify. But I'm trying to tell you that the world is in your heart, and now has come the kingdom of God within your heart. And the kingdom of God, through its graduality, is replacing the world as your mind, which is in your heart, not your brain in your head. The Bible said, as you think in your heart, your brain only records it through the human senses and echoes it around that the bodily members might respond to the brain. But the mind which is in the heart, as you think. See, and the mind of Christ is transformating your mind from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from understanding to understanding. This is why I tell you so much, running and jumping and hollering and turning flips and all these things. And you say, Brother Pike, don't you believe in shouting and dancing? Sure. Why not? Have a good time. The little ones turn them loose, they'll get out in the rain and they'll just do the buck dance. They just splatter, they have a good time. But folks, that's not what water is for. Water's for drinking, preserving life, cleansing you. See, cleansing the earth. Sure, you can have a good time. You know, babies, we go out in evangelistic fields, we do different. See, the babies and these evangelists that go into all them things, sure. Or even if you come to the place to where they're always preaching to you, to where they reprove you. Trying to say you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that and you should do this. And even preaching to you about the temptations and whatever. All that's God. All that's good. All that's for people. But folks, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being over here in kindergarten or being over here in elementary school. I'm talking about going on to college, getting a diplomacy. I'm talking about being about the Father's business. And you can't do that if you get your diplomacy. So then, we are not of this world. See, our minds is transformated. We've grown. We've took a dimensional step. We've took a dimensional growth. We're farther down the trail. We're becoming parents. Parents don't go out there and skip rope, shoot marbles, unless it's just a little something to encourage the kids. They have to lay up for the children. They have to work. They know night's coming. The shadows are going to fall. The kids going to run in for supper. They're going to want some lights in the house. They're going to be afraid of the boogeyman, as we say. See, so there's got to be something going on somewhere else.
And this is the thing that I'm talking about. Everybody's reverting back to childhood. Everybody's wanting to get back into the lust and into the things of the world. Ball games and races and all the crazy things of the world. Those are all right for the world. That's the children of the world. And the children play. The old saying, the difference between a man and a boy is the size of his toys. So, I'm saying that this mind has come. This light has come. The spiritual perspective has come because it had to come to a spiritual Jew. It had to come to a spiritual people. It brings in a spiritual realm. It brings in the third dimension. God is a spirit. And through all of this, from the spirit back to the spirit, Jesus said, I come from the spirit, I go back to the spirit. He's trying to work us back around the spirit so that we can be eternal, because everything natural is going to pass away. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. The stars are going to fall from heaven. So you that are not growing up, you that are not listening, the Bible said, woe unto them that give suck in those days, even to the mothers, even to the little child. They take the little child. I saw them through a film. You remember when the Japanese attacked? I saw this on a film where a news film caught it. I related it to you. One Japanese got on this side and got the little baby's arm. Another got on this side and got the little baby's arm and swung it like this. And they rocked it. And then they flipped it up into the air, and the other man helped the bandit for it to fall on. So pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. I'm telling you this because the revelation of Jesus Christ, or the revealing of the Antichrist, or the Christ from within, is at hand. It's up to you. Many of you won't get it. Many of you will go right back to the gullible desires of the world, doing the things of the flesh, living after the old shell of being in the flesh, and they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But there will be some of you that will be accounted worthy to be of that world, escape the judgment of this earth. Some of you are children of God. There's no doubt about it. You're born again. Some of you might be babies, but you're born again. And you're going to overcome that old shell. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith in what Jesus Christ did to overcome the shell at Calvary. And you're going to hatch out. You're going to come forth. You're going to put all those things back of you. It's going to happen. It's at hand right now. The second heaven falling has to do with it. We're going to close right here because we've took quite a long time. Didn't mean to take so long, but I have to get these things on tape where people can understand them. If it goes out there to them, that's why that I hold you a little long sometime. Your travail is to bring forth the child out there. Your patience is to have him reward you with longer life, more health, more riches here in this present world by being patient with him. All right, let's stand together. The Lord bless you for your patience. But remember, in saying this, in my closing remarks, remember that the shadows are demon spirits that come forth in the form of thoughts. And the light is Christ's mind that eradicates the shadow. And that's the transformation as to glory to glory. So then, the Bible said, if that mind within you, that spirit within you, if it be light, he called it an eye, your eyes of understanding. For if your eye be single, your body shall be full of light. That is your eye of understanding in Christ, not in the world. But if you be double-minded, your eye be evil, and then your body is full of intellectual darkness. And how great is that darkness? Some have never known the depths of Satan or the depths of the darkness. The last days, gross darkness shall cover the people, because the light of God is going to withdraw. Once this light comes, the Bible said, and great light is spring up to them that sit in the regions of the shadow of death, even the day star, springing forth within your heart right here this time. All of a sudden, it's going to go into your heart, eradicate the darkness. And once it takes you away, then the ones that's left, total darkness is going to come. It's going to fill the beast's kingdom. And people are nothing but beasts unless they're sons of God. So the shadows, see the shadows, they're in there. Thou walk through the valley of the shadows of death. Types and shadows are demon spirits. Demon thoughts are shadows. Shadows. But you can eradicate the shadow and the light of Christ is mine.
can overcome the darkness of Lucifer's mind, which is the death shadow that you're under. And then filtration will be gone and your whole body will be full of light. You'll be eternal. Can't ever die. For Christ alone dwells in that light. And that's what you are on the inside, is that new birth. That new light. Man can't approach unto that. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? Maybe I don't remember it. If I don't, some of y'all can help me with it. Come home. Come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening faint. Come home, it's supper time. Calling to the children now. We're going home at last. Let's sing it again, can we? Come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Oh, come home, it's supper time. And we're going home at last. Been gone from home a long, long time, sons and daughters of God. But we're finding our way back now, on our way back home. Jesus found his way back. Had to go by Calvary, and the cruel nails was placed in his hand. But it didn't matter, he was on his way home. When they beat him, it didn't matter, he was on his way home. He just had to pass by there on the way home. See, we're on our way home. The devil's try to trample us down and try to trample the mind of humanity down. And they do anything to hurt us through people or whatever, through the old beast body. But we're going home. We're on our way home. See? Like the song we wrote, the ring of the nails and the hammer, but he was on his way home. So, when you see the sun sinking, shadows lengthen. You know, up here, the sun, you got the shadows under your feet. But then, as the sun begins to drop, the shadows lengthen. They're going to get bigger and bigger. Devils are going to get worse and worse. And the Bible said wicked men are going to wax worse and worse. It's going to be so bad you can't walk on the streets. It's all almost like that now. They say a world of freedom. But the only freedom is that the devils and demons of society that take your children away from you, whether in prison or whether they take them away from you as to protecting them from child abuse, as they call it, they make harlots out of them, whoremongers out of them. They make devils and demons out of them. And they say, you can't get this child. You can't get him. I can do what I want to, but you can't. Yet it's freedom. See, it's identically the same dirty devil that was in Germany. I remember as a boy seeing it on the films as they showed it. The same dirty devils that Hitler had. They've come to America. And Hitler took their children. And they couldn't do anything about it. Folks, let me tell you something. When I was a boy, there was nobody dared to do a thing like that. You come into a man's yard and you mess with his young'un, why, he'd blow your head off with a shotgun. And if the man uptown that wore the star didn't like it, he'd come out, then the neighbor blowed his head off. I'm telling you like it was. Like a man way down in South Georgia, I never will forget. I was walking around that day, way down a little old road. Went down there, way out in the country. And this man was down there making liquor, a brew. And I said, man, I said, won't the law get you? He said, no, just as pink-eyed as a rabbit. And I was looking at the pink eyes and just marveling over it, you know. He said, no. I said, well, why come? He said, they don't mess with us out here. He said, if they come out here, they don't get back. You know what? How do you understand what I'm saying? Years ago, you couldn't do that. You couldn't mess around with a man's daughter. You couldn't. I heard of one case where a man, it was a Christian,
Somebody messed around with his daughter, and he jumped out there and killed two or three men at one time. Just like that. See, you just didn't do that. This society sort of a thing up here, they'd have took and hung them on a rope or floated them down the river. But look at it. You can't do nothing, can you? That's what your sins have gotten you into. Following the world, your little society. Elect to send somebody. Somebody said, give us a king. Give us a king. Samuel said, look, you don't really need a king. I'm here with you. You got an oversight. God sent me over here to help you. No, we want to be like the rest of them. So you got your king. It was a separation of church and state, but you dabble too much. See, and now they've converted you over. They've got control over years ago. They couldn't even touch you just because of separation of church and state. If you had a problem with your children, you had to settle it as the church. They didn't get into your matters. But look at the bunch of devils now. They're devils. Believe you me, they're devils. If you've never entangled or got entangled with them, you wait till you get entangled. They are devils in human bodies. Just like Jesus. Jesus looked at Peter and called that a devil, and all Peter was wanting to do was just trying to protect him from death. But Jesus knew that was the devil. It savored the things that be of the flesh. How much more of them devils and demons up yonder that's taking your children? Well, anyway, the shadows are lengthening. Can you sing that one more time? That is, they're getting stronger, more powerful. Mm-hmm. Come home. Come home. It's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home at supper time. We're going home. I want to sing that again. The altars are open. It really is near supper time. Come home at supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. So come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. You love the Lord? Wouldn't you like for Jesus to use you? Wouldn't you like to come home? Wouldn't you like to get back in the Spirit? Wouldn't you? Some of you have been gone a long time. Long time. There ain't no need of playing a religious game. You know you ain't right with God. You know you don't have God. You know that you're caught in that old shell. And you know that you're in the flesh. And you know you're hungering after the things of the world. And you're looking for the things of the world. And you are living in pleasure and dead while you live. And if you keep on, you're going to kill the Spirit and be plucked up by the root and never have a chance to get saved. You're going to send the sin unto death. You know you ain't straight. You know you ain't right. You know you ain't. I'm not here trying to preach to you whether you're right or wrong. I'm not trying to do that. For years on the field, and I still do out on the field, I scream against sin and against iniquity. But I've got a group of people here, and I've been processing them for years. And I'm trying to tutor these people. Paul said, I preach and I teach you. By preaching out there, it pleases God that men should be saved by the foolishness of preaching. But I come here to tutor you and I teach you another operation of the Spirit. I'm trying to reach the church. I'm trying to get to them elect, to get them together. Because I know you ain't going to do right. I know you ain't. You can't do right. You don't even see good when it comes, no matter if it's preached to you or whatever. There's no way you can do right. But these that I'm speaking of, they can't do anything but right. Their nature won't let them do anything else. Let's sing this little chorus, Jesus Use Me. Oh, Jesus, use me. And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. You want Jesus to use you? You have to give him a chance. Oh, Jesus, won't you use me?
And oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there is the work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll... Can you sing it again? Oh, Jesus, won't you use me? No, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there is a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, God help my will to crumble. For though the cross... I want to sing it one more time. I want you to think it over now while we're singing. If you want Jesus to use it. Oh, Jesus, won't you use me? And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there is a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though, one more time, we'll sing it together. Sing it with me now. Jesus, won't you use me? And oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there is a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For the cross I'll work. I want to sing it again. Jesus, won't you use me? And oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's the work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. How do you really mean that? Do you really mean that tonight? I believe some of you here really mean that from your heart. I want to sing it one more time. And I want you to think about it now. Though the cross be great, I'll work for you. It takes a cross. Take up your cross and follow me. It takes a cross. Folks, it takes self-denial. But Jesus said, wherever I am, there my servants shall be also. And he said, if you're going to be where I am, then you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to deny yourself and take up the cross and follow me. All right, let's sing it together. Oh, Jesus, won't you use me? And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Hallelujah. You love Jesus. We sang that little song, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. If you really want Jesus to use you, then the way he's going to use you is for you to tell everybody who Jesus is. Have you ever told someone that Jesus is God? Have you ever told somebody that Jesus is God? Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart, with all of thy mind, all of your strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on this one thing. Let's sing that song, can we?
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star, and he is the first of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to know.
Lift your hands up with me now. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. I'm glad that one day I came into the revelation of the Son of God, into the wonderful unveiling of Jesus. In the days of Paul, it was the coming of the Lord when he came into the revelation. And the people knew that. And they received Paul as the Lord himself. They knew that the Lord had come. They couldn't differentiate. They didn't understand. That human body stood before them and they said, "We know this is Paul. We know this is Paul." They did the same thing when Jesus came. They knew the Lord had come. And they said, "This is the Messiah. This is the Messiah." And so it was, someone said, "But he's the carpenter's son. And this is Paul." Peter said, "This is the Christ. This is the Christ. You're not looking at a man." Said, "This is the Christ. The world is on the verge of seeing God's Christ. Christ within you, the hope of glory, the manifestation of the sons of God. The very members of his body, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, they that dwell in heaven, they that are actually dwelling in heaven." And Nicodemus, the son of man, which is in heaven, Paul saying, caught up into the third heaven. Elijah and Moses in glory in heaven. Enoch in heaven. Does God actually catch up men into heaven? Does he do that? There must be something to it. Lazarus saw Abraham. Is it true that in the book of Revelation that the woman was in the heavens, that the dragon was in the heavens, that the child was in the heavens? Something is fixing to happen, folks. The woman is fixing to go away in the wilderness. That's why Brother Jimmy Kirk is going over yonder to Mississippi. All of the things, the little things that you never notice, foolish and abased things of the world, God uses to confound the wise. You can't see them because you're not looking through the eyes of God.
See, but something is taking place. The woman is going to the wilderness. What's happening to PTL? What's happening to Jimmy Swaggart? What's happening to Oral Roberts? What's happening to these great bodies? It's the church. That's been the church. It's always been recognized as the church. What's happening? The man-child. That third dimension. That mind of God is coming in. That child has been caught up to the throne. See, there's somewhere a body of people. There's somewhere individuals that's coming into the revelation of the Son of God. They've been caught up to the throne. And the woman is going into a wilderness now. Everything is all tore up. The second heaven is going out. The red dragon is being cast out. God's rejecting the world system. The religious woman, she's frustrated. She don't know what's happening. She can't understand going into a wilderness. Why? There's a place prepared for the true church. That is to say, for Israel as to the natural shale. For times, time, and a half a time. During the time of the regime of the Antichrist. And those are sealed. That nothing can harm them. But folks, this is the time of the devastating blow. This is the time of the calamity of all mankind. It's here. I know that some of you haven't been able to understand. Some of you didn't believe. But things has come to pass month after month, just as we've said. Still happening. And it's here. It's here. They've turned the church world into a gimmick. While you've got your heads bowed, I want you to lift your hands up. I want you to think all these things over. We come from time to time. We spend all this time trying to tell you, searching out the lovely things of Jesus. And then we come here to try to tell you so that in your heart and in your mind you will be enlarged and you can think on these things and nobody can cause you to deviate or nobody can overthrow you because you can look through everything that they do, every wind of doctrine, you can pass over it. And you can say, my God, I see beyond that. I know what's going on. I know the reality of the spirit world and those things that's in the spirit world. Angels are spirits. In heaven ye are spirits. Your individual on the inside, that is your spirit on the inside, is in heaven. It's equal to the angels. It cannot die. It'll never leave the presence of God. For leaving the presence of God is death, even the second death of the lake of fire. Some of you may go to sleep in your body, which is not necessary. We're living in the time when the great mystery of Paul is coming forth. We shall not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. I'm going to ask Brother Collins to come up and dismiss us, if he will, while Brother Collins is coming up from Houston, Texas. Something to that. Today, the Lord impressed me to put on the hat, the white hat. And that white hat comes out of Houston, Texas. It has to do with a great thing. I come up early. I had it on. I was talking to some of the brethren. And then tonight, calling on Brother Collins, and he comes out of Houston. Moonstones, how many know they're in Houston? How many know that? Those moonstones are in Houston. They say they're there. That has to do with the crossing of the Jordan, that great place of death going from here to the moon. You cross over that great gulf. How many know that while I'm calling him up here, that I'm standing underneath the moonstones? How many know that? How many know the name of these dangles that's over my head are called moonstones? See, getting past the Jordan, while Brother Collins is coming, I want him to pray for you, physically, spiritually, every way. He's on the verge of marrying a girl. Her dad is from Houston, a Houston family. See, that denotes a real outstanding thing. Something is taking place. A lot of things I can't say to you. Some things I can say to you. But anyway, as Collins comes to pray tonight, consider these things. Begin to meditate in the laws day and night. Bring every thought into subjection. Cast down imagination, the things of the world. Start meditating and seeking and praying and asking God to make you spiritual minded. Pause it with that you're spiritual. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation that this thing can break forth in your heart. Think on these things so that you can become spiritual and get into this thing.
Because I tell you the name of the Lord, the translation is taking place. The transformation is taking place. And it won't be long. The translation's already took place. And the transformation is taking place. And it won't be long, the transfiguration will take place. So you better get ready, because the transfiguration, Thessalonians change, is a transfiguration. I'm telling you, the transfiguration is absolutely not going to happen the way you think it is. God's not going to run down here and transfigure a bunch of people. It's going to be them that's been transformated in their mind, that was translated into the Spirit as to a new birth, and transformated in their mind as to redeem the body, to overcome the sleep, because that's what Thessalonians change is.